So I'm Nick. I'm the youth pastor. I'm allowed to make more jokes than it feels appropriate because I work with students and that's my job. But, you know, I've thought about this question a lot. What is inspiring me to worship? What's causing me to worship? And part of me, the more pretentious side of me, wanted to pick something really obscure and deeply theological. Like, I wanted to pick some weird passage from, like, Lamentations and force it down your throat and prove to you that I'm really smart. But there was one obvious answer that kind of kept coming back to me. And when I realized that I'm actually not smart enough to pick out a verse like that and really convince you that that's what's causing me to worship, I realized I should probably just fall back on what the actual answer is. And for me, I really can't get away from this answer, and it's my family. 100%, it's my family. Over and over again, they continually bring me the kind of joy that I can't do anything with but use to worship. Let me tell you a little about my family. So I have three beautiful children, an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and I've been married to my wife, Rachel, for the last 12 wonderful years. Recently, my parents took a job. They lived in Florida, and it was wonderful. We'd go visit them. We would stay at the beach sometimes. They had this big, beautiful house. It was fantastic. They got a job in Texas, which is great because, you know, all-time free babysitting, fantastic. But so in the meantime, you know, they got this job. They don't have a house yet, so now they live with us. And, yes, so we'll get to that in a second. And so then, you know, a few months before my parents actually moved in, I was on the phone with my baby sister who was out in L.A., and we were just talking, and it was getting pretty emotional, and I was saying things like, you know, maybe you just need to take a break from that life. Like, maybe that's not what God's really called you to. And she's like, well, can I live with you? And I was like, yep, you sure can. So now what I felt already was a relatively crowded life of me and my wonderful wife and my three children. Now my parents live in my son's room, and he sleeps on a trundle bed in my daughter's room, so there's three of them in there, and my sister lives in what used to be the children's toy room, but now has a small bed in it, and she always gets annoyed because the dog exits through that glass door, and he's constantly jumping on her white sheets. Why did they get her white sheets? I don't know. But they got those, and now they're all ruined. And people are constantly asleep on the couch because the kids are in some other room. It's a situation. And so, honestly, when I knew this was going to happen, when everybody had decided they're moving into our house, I got a little nervous because I like quiet. Now, I've already been robbed of that by having three children, and so it's already difficult to find a quiet place. The bathroom used to work, but now my kids know how to open doors. And so it's hard for me, but I really thought it was going to be a struggle. I thought this was going to be a tough season. But the weird thing is it's actually not. You know, my parents actually came to us like, hey, you know, we can get a small apartment. We can move out. And both my wife and I were like, please don't. And I actually don't know why. It doesn't really make life easier. Things are more complicated. There's more tension. There's more confusion. There's more arguing going on because, you know, we're bringing all these people together. It's hard, but the reality is it just continues to bring this mysterious joy to my life. Like yesterday, for example, we woke up, we had breakfast. My dad makes breakfast. He loves to make breakfast. I am fearful of the day that he doesn't want to make breakfast anymore because he's so good at it. And so we eat, and then we decide that the kids and my dad and my sister and I, we're going to go out and we're going to play soccer. So we go over to this field, we set it up, we're playing, and we're just having so much fun. And, you know, there's this moment where I look around and I'm like, I can't believe this is my life. You know, when I was a kid, my dad would take me and we'd play soccer. Now I'm looking out and my sister is playing with my children and my dad is pretending to not be hurt while he's hobbling around trying to play soccer. And it's just so special. And if my life wasn't as inconvenienced as it was, beautiful moments like this wouldn't happen. And I'm so happy about it. I'm so joyful. It's the kind of joy that you can't just allow to end in the moment. Like, I can't just look at that and be like, wow, that's cool. Let's move on with my day. No, no, no. It's the kind of joy that I have to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this. Because I have done nothing to deserve this. If anything, I've gotten in the way of good things happening to me, but God continues to lavish me with this stuff, with these people, with this love, with this joy, with this feeling of satisfaction that I don't deserve. You know, I feel sometimes like a farmer that has this beautiful field that I planted nothing in, spent no time putting seeds in, and then harvest time came and just crops just grow and grow and grow, and I don't understand why they keep growing. That's what it's like when I look at my family. That's how I feel, and I love them so much, and that joy doesn't end on the thing. Like, even if it's a, you know, our joy can't just end on the things, right? Like, we have a beautiful meal, we have great success in our job, something wonderful happens to us. We can't just be like, wow, that's cool, and move on. Like, no, we have to acknowledge that these things come from the Creator, from the God, our Father, who wants to give us good and beautiful things. You know, Dylan talks about being unsure sometimes of why God would love us, and maybe he just tolerates me. I get that. I feel that too. But something that just sort of, it flips me around when I think about it is, if I love my children, my family, as much as I do, and I would do anything for those kids, I would do anything for these people. I love them so much, and there's nothing that they can do to stop it. You know, no matter how many times my son comes into my bed at night and pees in it, I'm going to continue to love him. And he does do that frequently. But I don't stop loving him. Now, if anybody else did that, our relationship would be tense. Right? If I had a friend come over and he finds his way in, our friendship would have a problem. But my son, he gets a pass, right? He gets a free pass. And if that's how I feel about my son, how much more so does our God, who created us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, who knows the number of hairs on our head, how much more so does he love us? And that's the kind of thing that causes me to worship. I see these things and I can't help it. It just happens. So this next song we're going to do is called Yearn, and it's a beautiful song, one that I remember even in college that we'd get together and we'd listen to, and it just stirred things within us. And I want to encourage you, as we do, feel free to sit, to stand, do whatever you need to do that allows you to find space to contemplate how much God truly loves you. Because this word yearn, it's not a normal word. We don't typically use that in our daily conversation, because it means more than just saying I want or I desire or I like it. It means something deeper, to yearn for something. And I love this song because it's us saying I want to yearn for you, but I also hear God saying that to us, that he yearns for us, that he wants us to love him, to give him that which he desires most, which is our affection. So let's take time and really contemplate what it means to yearn for.